This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day as we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
The May primary ballots go out near the end of the month, and we're doing a candidate interview today with Republican candidate for governor, Chris Dudley. Chris, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you, Kyle. Great to be here. And excited to talk to you. Thank you.
Yeah. So how do you feel like the race is going? I'm sure as we get, now that we're into April, there's more interest overall in politics and the primary election across the board. What are you seeing for your race?
Well, great energy out there. We've literally driven 8,000 miles over the past, 8, 9 weeks, whatever it is, and been across the state doing meet and greets and town halls and round tables. And was just in Roseburg, I think it was last week or maybe the week before. And there's just an excitement out there. And I would say kind of run into two common themes. One is the love of our state and everything we have going for it. And it's an incredibly beautiful state. And the other is that what we're doing now is not working and that we need change. And, you know, I'd argue that never has there been a time where we've needed more somebody from the outside to come in and change our state, change our leadership, change the patterns in Salem, and somebody with a business background, which, frankly, we haven't had for over 40 years in the governor's office. So there's a great energy and an excitement that we need to change our leadership, change our path.
Talk about that aspect that you mentioned about you feel it's important for somebody to hold this office who comes from outside of currently being part of everything that is Salem. Why is that so important to you?
Well, I just think Salem's problems will not be solved by somebody from Salem. I think both sides are tired of the partisan politics, and it's just gotten the bickering, the name-calling, and just see it over and over again. And the lack of leadership there, as well as the unwillingness to or the inability to come forth with serious solutions to the problems our state faces. And I think we're at such a time where that is needed. And when you're ranked 50th in education for fourth grade testing or 47th for job creation or number one in addiction and mental illness, we have serious issues in our state that need to be addressed. And I really believe we need somebody from the outside to change our course or change our path. And we're at a tipping point as far as the state goes. I mean, we cannot keep going down this path. And I get worried about, as I've traveled the state, how many businesses are telling me that how they're struggling and how the state that Oregon has gone from a state that was used to be business unfriendly, but now is business adversarial. And parents who don't want to send their kids to public schools, the safety, we need safety, our drug addiction problem that we have. All these are big issues that we need leadership and need someone who can come in and say, hey, let's stop the games, stop the partisan bickering, and let's get down to work and get some things done.
What's your vision for what you would like to have Oregon become?
Well, I'd like a vision that I think resonates across party lines, which is that I think whether you're a Democrat, independent, Republican, you want schools that we're proud of. You want jobs available. You want your kids to be able to afford to live where they grew up. We want safe streets. Those are the things I'm running on: education, economy, livability, which includes affordability and safety. Those core issues: where do you live, where do you work, where do you play, making our everyday life better. And it's just something that's just has gotten collectively worse over the years, and we need change, and we need change quickly.
So there's the vision. What do you do to make it happen?
Well, I think there's a number of things in the different areas. For education, for example, the good news is there are solutions out there. You look at what's happened in other states. Mississippi, for example, has gone from 47th to first in reading. It's getting back to the fundamentals, focus on the science of reading, add accountability to our schools. We have to do that to focus on our schools and change our schools. It's unacceptable that right now 40% of high school graduates need remedial classes when they graduate from high school. We have to change that. On the economy, we have to restore. We have to say Oregon is open for business, and I look forward to doing that. I look forward to working with the businesses that are here, small and large, and helping them succeed, as well as bringing in new business and creating an environment where we can have entrepreneurs succeed and create businesses. And that's just something that's not happening now. Take advantage of our natural resources that we have, whether it's farming, fishing, or forestry, the things that Oregon has going for it and was in its DNA, in its history, and we have to embrace, whether it's safety on the streets, or getting rid of what I'll call the poison off our streets, the things like fentanyl, crank, the drugs that literally are killing people. You do them once, twice, three times, the poison, I call them poison, to remove these poisons from our streets, focus on those areas, and allow officers the ability to do their jobs. These are all things that are so important to our everyday lives.
You mentioned Vic Atiyah earlier, and that made me think one of the things that he focused a lot on during his time was the whole world of trade, international trade. What does Oregon need to do to get its products other places and to bring other products in? What needs to be done better?
Well, you have to sell the state, and you have to build relationships. I get scared about when I'm talking to businesses in Oregon, and they'll say, yeah, I'm being recruited by this state or this state, and the governor's called me up, and he's actually offered to take me hunting, or he wrote me a personal note, and they want to break. And these are people who don't necessarily want to leave, but are feeling the pressure to leave. And as Governor Atiyah did in his time, is really be a salesman, create those relationships. Embrace that. I mean, it's sad what's happened in Oregon. We're not only not recruiting businesses, but we're not even talking to our own businesses. I'm friends with the former CEO of Dutch Brothers, who talked about this and talked about he'd never heard from the governor's office until about 5 weeks before they were leaving. And they called up and said, what can we do? And he's like, well, you could have called 2 years, 5 years, 10 years ago. You know, it's amazing that we're not doing that. And we have to encourage the businesses we have here, as well as reaching out and saying, recruiting businesses to Oregon, which I would look forward to do. That's part of the job of governors, to be the salesman for the state, and something that I would relish doing.
What do you make of kind of the non-support the incumbent governor seems to be getting from a lot of normally very supportive places?
I think it's very hard to say what the governor's done is working. I'm trying to think of one metric in which the state has gotten better in the last 4 years, or even the last 12 years since she was Speaker of the House. And I'm struggling with that. I can't think of any. It's certainly not business. It's certainly not education. You can't even say it's the environment when we're having catastrophic wildfires every summer. I just think it's, in any other profession, you would be fired. If you're failing in every category, if you're in business world or the military, or certainly in sports, if you're last in the league in sports year after year, you don't keep your job. And so I think it's a time where we have to make a replacement, and we have to change our direction. And I think it's hard to argue otherwise.
Are you surprised that no other prominent Democrat jumped into the race?
You know, I haven't really focused on that. I don't know. I know there were rumors, and you would have thought maybe someone would have thought about it, but I haven't followed it that closely. I'm more focused on our side and getting done and making sure that we win this. I'm tired of the protest votes. It's this is an election we have to win. And I feel like I'm uniquely qualified to be able to do so. And I think this is something we have to do. We have to take back our state, and we need to have a different direction. We need to have somebody who can present a vision that will resonate across party lines so that we can get elected and get good things done for our state that have to be done.
It's a crowded field. What's your strategy for winning that nomination?
Well, just distinguish myself. I think I stand out from the other candidates in that being an outsider, not being a career politician, in which I think we need somebody from outside of politics. Having somebody who has a background in business is imperative. I've been in the business world. I was Yale Economics, and then played in the NBA, where I was a negotiating committee, where we negotiated billion-dollar deals, worked on with collective bargaining, health care, pension benefits, got my CFP after retiring from the NBA, started an investment business, been CEO and chairman of the board of a medical device company in Beaverton, started a foundation for kids with diabetes 30 years ago. I think those are the type of experiences that we need, and distinguish myself from the other ones running. We need somebody who's been a success outside of politics. This isn't, for me, I'm not running to be someone. I'm running to get something done, and passionate that I want a better state for, you know, for my kids and all of our kids. Our kids are sixth generation Oregonians, and eventually we'll have seventh generation Oregonians. And I think our state deserves so much better.
If you do get the nomination, how do you reach across the aisle to the non-affiliated, the independent voters, others, without losing core GOP support? Sometimes it seems like that's a tough kind of road to put together.
Yeah, it can be, but it's. I think you start by focusing on things you agree on. And I've had a background of bringing people together, and you don't start, well, two things. One, you don't start with the topics of what are very divisive. You start on what you actually agree on. And two, it's the manner in which you lead. You know, I've always found you don't win an argument by saying, hey, dummy, this is what you need to do. You know, and too often we're doing that in politics. It's, as I said before, I'm running on those core issues of education, economy, livability. And I believe that all Oregonians want good schools. I believe that all Oregonians want jobs available, and all Oregonians want their kids to be able to afford to live where they grew up. And all Oregonians should want safe streets. Those are the core issues I'm running on that do resonate across party lines. And then as governor, when I get there, I'll have won on running on those messages. So you have a mandate behind you. And then when you come in, you have that mandate and you're able to work together. And you also will, as governor, you'll have powers. You'll have the power of the pen, power of the purse, where there's going to have to be negotiations, and you're going to have to get to a place where things get done. And I look forward to making those arguments. I mean, it's hard to argue right now when spending in education has gone up by 80% in the last 10 years and the results have gotten worse, that what we're doing is working. It's hard to argue that what we're doing for homelessness and addiction is working in our state. It's hard to argue that what we're doing for business and creating jobs is working. It's not. And so I think there will be a real opportunity to lead and present a vision and get buy-in and push that forward for the good of Oregonians.
Talk about specifics in education that you would like to change if you were elected governor. How would you make that change happen?
Well, I think by focusing on what is working across the country, and the good thing about the United States is you have 50 laboratories, you have 50 states in which you can see what's happening. And for example, you've seen it in states across the country. I mentioned Mississippi, that's gone from 47th to first in reading. There is a path. It's getting back to phonics, getting back to the fundamentals, the science of reading, and really emphasizing that we're teaching those, that our teachers know how to teach in the fundamentals of reading, fundamentals of math, adding accountability to schools. Right now, we keep lowering the standards, and it's really doing a disservice to our students. I call it the cruelty of low expectations. And when when 40% of your high school graduates need remedial classes when they get to college, we're not doing what we should be doing. We need to have accountability. Make sure that we're not just promoting people for graduation or from class to class just because of their age. We have to have the ability. We have to be able to ask that you have the ability to graduate from one grade to the next grade. And those are things that are missing. And I think that tone is set by that leadership is set by the governor's office. And as governor, you are the superintendent of schools. And as governor, I would declare a state of emergency in education on day one. We need to refocus on this, and it's imperative. And I'm hearing it from teachers as I travel the state. They're tired of not getting support in their classrooms where they're not able to either discipline students or focus with students. And there's a lack of accountability across the board that we need to get back to.
What about state agencies? What changes would you make in how they're operated?
Well, I think as governor, you would come in and you'd want to have people who believe in your vision in those places. And I think you look at different areas, for example, ODOT, where you absolutely have to do an audit. You have to look at what's going on there, where the dollars are going. And this is true in so many different places across our government, is do audits, have accountability. What is working? What's not working? And then when you make those changes, you change that culture. And sometimes that means replacing agency heads or replacing advisors inside of those agencies. And I think that's something that's really important. As governor, one of the things the most important power you have is the power of appointment to put people in places for agencies or judges. Or we have close to 300 boards and commissions in the state of Oregon. To be able to appoint people to those different places is incredibly important, and to restore some balance to our state.
What would you do in the area of timber management on state-owned timberlands?
Well, I think right now, as far as our timber policy, I believe we're in a lose-lose-lose situation. We're losing by not managing our forests, by not having an adequate harvest level. I believe we're losing out on the jobs that would create. We're losing out to the revenues that the counties rely on that would be produced for those counties. And I would argue that we're in a lose situation as far as the environment, where we have catastrophic wildfires every summer. I don't think that's productive on any level. And we have to get to a place where we're doing a better job of production and managing our forests across the board.
What would a governor's role be in working with the congressional delegation to help in terms of federal projects for Oregon and policies in Oregon, things like that?
The role of governor is to promote and to do whatever is in the best interest of your state. As governor, I'll put Oregon first with everything. And so whether that's competing for money, federal funds for our state, whether it's for policies that better Oregon, I think that's a big part of it, working with your congressional leaders from your state, but also working with the administration of whoever is there to promote the state and do what is best for the state of Oregon.
What about the area of law enforcement? There's been, over the years, Oregon State Police has had what they felt like was a lot of funding issues and inadequate number of troopers on the road compared to past years. Any changes there you would make?
Yes, absolutely. They're absolutely right. We are, as a state, we're 48th overall as officers per capita. And in many areas, including the state police, we need more officers, and that's going to be incredibly important. I was literally just down at the Police Academy in Salem last Monday doing a tour, and they're doing great work there, doing everything they can to produce quality officers across the board, whether sheriffs, police, state police, and we need to support them. We need to advocate for them, and we need to have a place, our state, where we feel safe.
What about the one of the kind of the bright spots a lot of times to tourists is all the parks in Oregon? Anything you would manage differently about the state park system?
Well, I just think overall we have to be enforce the rules for camping and not being in the same place for 14 days. We have to look at how that impacts our forests, our state parks, whether it's from with homelessness, from fires or from danger. Right now, there's whether people don't always feel safe. And I live in here in Sisters, and it's been an issue here as well, where people don't necessarily feel safe going out on trails and parks, and we're constantly worried about fires. So that's something that we have to really dig into and enforce the laws that are on the books.
About a minute left. Chris Dudley, Republican candidate for governor on Inside Douglas County. What's ahead for your next week? What kinds of things are you going to be doing?
Well, I've got a debate on Thursday with the ORP, so hopefully everybody can tune in, check that out. I'm really looking forward to sharing my vision. And then I've got a couple events coming up this week. I know I've got a couple town halls tomorrow down in Polk County. I'm going to have to get my schedule out because I kind of go day to day, but I know we're all over the place. And I think I'm coming down south again pretty soon, but I'll have to check out the calendar. But the big one's the debate coming up on Thursday, which hopefully everybody can watch.
Has there been anything surprising about running for governor, maybe something you didn't expect?
No, I ran in 2010, as you probably remember, you know, I think we've talked about before. And so I've been through it before. I think right now it's just even more so just a theme across the board. I mean, I've had a lot of Democrats and independents reaching out to me and really encouraging me and saying we need change across the board. Obviously, Republicans as well. But I just think there's the unity in the idea that we need different leadership, and having a leader from the outside, how imperative that is at this time and time and place in Oregon right now, this moment in time, how important it is, and how important it is to have somebody who has an economic understanding, a business background, how important that is. The universal endorsement of that idea, I think, has been great. And just the energy that's out there really excites me. So right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You bet. Republican candidate for governor, Chris Dudley, thanks for being on today.
Thank you, Kyle. Really appreciate it.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This has been Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.